And it's time to break down the Browns defensive line's performance from 2011. And helping us to do that is our good buddy Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Vic, good to see you again.
All right. Normally, you're a part of our, you're a regular on our roundtable. Today, we're going to get a little specific with the D-line position, which I think as a starting point, clearly the strength of the Browns in 2011, I think, was this group.
Yeah, I think you could make a very strong argument for that. And what was interesting, Vic, is, as you remember, going into the season, it was a huge weakness, which is why Tom Hecker did what he did in the draft and made up, you know, picked up a couple real nice guys who turned into very valuable players for this team this year.
We could say it's a surprise when a rookie at almost any spot performs exceptionally well, but when you're drafting a guy high enough and you put him in the starting lineup as a rookie, the expectation is that he's going to play. You're not just putting him out there to fill space or you'd put someone else there. So in the case of Jabal Sheard, who really was a dynamite player for this team this year, part of me wants to be surprised, but the other part of me says this was what this team saw, and the high motor, the aggressiveness, the production.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which scout is responsible, but somebody really found a gem there because, you know, many of us did not really know very much about Jabal Sheard at all. I mean, there was a little bit of familiarity, you know, Pittsburgh not being that far away. But you're right, Vic. You know, he was put into a big spot this year, and he performed from the get-go. And I think the real pleasing thing from Jabal's standpoint and from the Browns' standpoint is that he got better as the year went on. It
Definitely.
Wasn't really like a flash in the pan where he had, you know, the big monster game, 2-3 sacks, whatever. He made plays all year long. And, you know, we were fortunate enough weekly to get to talk to Dick Geron, the defensive coordinator, and he raved about Jabal and how he was getting better and how he was picking up the little tricks you need to know on the defensive line.
He was a steady, consistent performer, and you're right. It was also about – I think a guy who understood his where he would be strongest, and he was the one who made that suggestion because he started the season, of course,
right,
at right end,
him over, yep.
Flip him to the left side at his urging, Dick Geron agreeing with that, and a lot of coaches would say, hey, look, kid, you know, we've got you over there. That's where we think you're best. But he understood his comfort zone and maybe the place on the field where he'd be more effective, and clearly that switch made a difference.
Yeah, I think one of his veteran moves early on was to not complain about it, just to
right.
say, you know what, they are right. I am better on that side, and I can do a better job. And, you know, and we have to look at Jabal by looking at the other players up front. I think a lot of what Jabal was able to do had to do with the way Phil and Ruben played inside.
Sure, definitely. And which brings us to Phil Taylor, because Phil Taylor, the high expectations there, were even greater. He's the top pick. And he comes in and I think makes a difference. Not as consistent a force as Sheard was. So had his moments where, and the concern on him before he entered the NFL was, would he be a guy who would always give you every single down? And I think there would have been moments this year where you could look at and say he wasn't always full throttle for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is a maturity thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And I think what the Browns did was kind of borrow the blueprint from both Baltimore and Pittsburgh in this division. You got to have that big guy in the middle. And you got to have a guy who's going to be able to tie up, you know, guards and centers and throw running backs and fullbacks to the side. So, I thought Phil did a very nice job. You know, there were times and there was that knock on him in college that he would tend to take plays off. And I think that's just a part of being a pro. And I
sure.
think, you know, as the Browns evaluate this season, I think one of the pluses that they can look at is that a lot of young guys took a lot of snaps, and Phil Taylor is one of them.
Yeah, and the marks, you know, he gets high marks, I know, from the coaching staff, who very aware, as I hear it, that, you know, very aware of the growth and maturity that he has to have, not physical growth because he's big,
yeah.
plenty big, but of of his game and of his knowledge of the game, the gap responsibility, the gap discipline, all those areas they see from the coaching staff that he's capable of improving and actually showed that he was making those strides during the course of the year. So the long-term view, the long view of Sheard and Taylor as fixtures on
yeah.
this line is good.
No, yeah, I got to go back to the Minister of Defense, Dick Geron. I mean, he raved about Phil as the year went on again. So,
yeah.
you know, once again, here's a guy who, you know, developed, understood what he was doing wrong, made the adjustments. I also will say, you know, just because fans aren't there, you know, in the locker room, you know, Phil's one of these guys, it's kind of hard to get to know.
Yeah.
And you need to spend a little bit of time with him. And I thought as the year went on, Phil got a lot more comfortable with the media. He was very much more approachable. Early in the season, you know, he would tend to kind of sit at his locker and not really interact with anybody.
Sure.
But also, you could see with his teammates as the year went on, you know, they got to know him a little bit better and maybe understand his personality a little bit. So, yeah, I think there's a big future for him here.
We're visiting with Tom Withers from the Associated Press as we break down the performance of the Browns' defensive line during the 2011 season. Ataba Rubin, really a guy who I think everybody knew would be a strong force this season, but the guy who so easily overlooked and easy to underappreciate because you just never hear from him. And it's not that he's reticent. He's just a quiet man who goes about his job. In fact, he's a delightful guy when you do talk with him.
Right.
But he plays and every single game. I mean, when you think of how well Taylor and Sheard performed, we started talking about them, but really it's in reverse order. It really started with, I think, the play of Rubin.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, I mean, he was a perfect guy for those two young guys to learn under. And, you know, it was interesting. I was talking to a couple players this week about Rubin, and they were saying, you know what? He's the slowest guy in the building, just kind of wanders up and down the hallways. He's slow when he lifts weights. But, boy, you turn him loose on that field, and he's a madman.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he did a real nice job. I mean, there were tackles he made downfield. Now, I know you don't want to see your defensive tackle, you know, making a tackle 25 yards down the field, but that's what Ruben's all about. Never stops. Really at it. Again, I'll go back to Dick Geron. Had nothing but praise about Ruben from day one of this season to the very last day.
Jamie Mitchell, not quite as prominent as the other three players we talked about and in and out of the starting lineup as he was. So that other end position, that right end position, still a question mark there.
Yeah, it very much so is. And in fairness to Jamie, too, I think he played, you know, a little dinged up for a good part of the year. I know early on he had some issues. And then, you know, we got into a situation where he had lost his starting job for a brief time. And, you know, he quietly made plays here and there, though. I mean, there was also some pressures he got where, you know, maybe he didn't necessarily make the sack, but he certainly forced the quarterback into a different decision. So
right.
You're right, though. I think that is a spot that needs to be looked at in this offseason.
And overall, in terms of depth, this would be another – if you're playing a four-man line, which this team is, it's critical to have a lot of bodies.
Yeah, you better have eight then.
You know, Jabal Sheard, as we say, as a rookie, played a whole lot of games. I'm not sure that's ideal.
Right.
Ataba Rubin played a whole lot of games. Not ideal. Same with Phil Taylor, and it was an education for both young players, both rookies especially. But who else are you putting in there? And you had Austin English get some time. Scott Paxton comes in, noted more as much as anything for the injury that Ben Roethlisberger suffered in his ankle. But that's not really what the guy, I'm sure, wants to be just known for. I hope not. But Brian Schaefering. So it was a lot of just guys who were part of it. But the true rotation, the most successful four-man fronts, you got a true eight deep
there.
Yeah,
the good teams have eight guys in there. And, you know, this Paxton sack of Roethlisberger may not take on Turkey Joe Jones proportions, but it's certainly one that Browns fans are going to remember for a long time. And,
it
you know,
is.
Paxton was one of those guys who it seemed like every time he was on the field, he was making some kind of a play.
He was.
He was either making a big tackle or, again, you know, getting pressure on guys. And you're right, Vic, if you've got four up front, then you better have four behind him.
And there's a toughness and a tenacity to Paxton and to Schaefering and Austin English. I mean, you see that. They're scrappy. English, a very, very scrappy guy.
Well, and you're right, Vic. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right.
You know, these guys, I think fans don't appreciate sometimes just the little nicks and dings that these guys have to play with on a weekly basis. I'll just give you a little anecdote, and now that we're past the season, I can say this. Brian Schaefering had hurt his hand in practice one day, and I knew it was fairly bad, and I actually overheard one of the trainers telling him, hey, I got the keys to the car. I'm taking you to the clinic. And so Schaefering came up to me, and he knew that I had heard it, and he said, now listen, if that gets out, I'm coming after you. And Brian had, and I get along with Brian very well, but Brian had that look in his eye like he meant business. But to your point, these guys have to be tough. That's a tough position. I don't think on television you can ever really get a good sense to what that hand-to-hand combat is like inside.
No, and it is about toughness, scrappiness, durability, and stamina. I mean, that, and,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is we go back to this point about having the eight people. And I think, too, good coaching, Dwayne Pee-wee Board, as a defensive line coach, instills a lot of that. I think he's the right guy leading this group, especially within the structure of Dick Geron's scheme, because Dick Geron's scheme, you know, as almost every defense does, relies on this first group to make that impact. Everything emanates from there. We could talk about the secondary and maybe Joe Hayden not having the best year, or the secondary overall having struggles in pass defense. We can talk, although it played, the numbers were good, but a lot of that, too, was a reflection of struggles in the run defense.
Right.
But we can talk about the linebacking core not being deep enough. All those issues can be discussed. It really is about the play of this defensive line, first and foremost.
It is, and I'm glad you brought it up, because we don't want to sugarcoat it too much. I mean, this team had its issues against the run.
Yeah.
By the same token, I thought towards the end of the year they did a much better job against the run. So I think that's a byproduct of, right, a young group, you know, gaining that experience, you know, figuring out, I do have to stay in my gap. I've got to trust the other guys up front. As long as I do my jobs and hopefully somebody else will do theirs, we're going to be able to stop some guys.
Yeah, great stuff, Tom. Thank you so much for helping out with us on a very nice, balmy, blizzardy day. No. All right, good stuff. Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.